are listening to AfterSight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for Colorado Gardener, read by Christy McGowan, featuring articles from Better Homes and Gardens and Green Prints. How to grow zucchini in pots and container gardens. You don't need a big garden to grow your own zucchini. By Lauren Landers. And this is from BetterHomesAndGardens.com. Growing zucchini in pots is an excellent solution for urban gardeners looking to add more growing space to their small yard, patio, or balcony. Zucchini and the closely related crookneck and summer squash plants are larger than many other vegetables, but they can still be cultivated in small garden spaces with a roomy pot and a bit of care. These plants are so productive that you may only need one or two zucchini plants to provide your family with all the fresh zucchini they need. Use these 10 container gardening tips to grow zucchini plants in pots from seed to harvest. 1. Find a sunny location. Zucchini are full sun plants that need at least 6 hours of bright light daily, although they grow even better with 8 to 10 hours of sun. When selecting a spot for your container garden, choose an open area unobscured by tall trees or buildings. Growing locations should be sheltered from strong winds if possible, so pollinators won't be blown about while they're pollinating zucchini flowers. 2. Select the right type of zucchini. The two main types of zucchini are bush-type zucchini and vining zucchini. Both zucchini varieties can be grown in pots. However, bush-type zucchinis, such as cueball and bush baby, are usually better for container growing. Vining zucchini plants can also be grown in container gardens, but they need trellises or cages to support their trailing stems. 3. Choose a roomy growing container. Although smaller bush-type zucchini typically don't need trellising, both vining and bush zucchini need spacious pots to accommodate their extensive root systems. Grow bags, terracotta pots, and food-safe plastic buckets at least 5 to 10 gallons in size or 18 inches wide can be used to grow a single zucchini plant. Make sure that your container has plenty of drainage holes so the zucchini plants don't develop root rot. 4. Know when to plant. Zucchini can be grown from nursery starts or seeds, but these heat-loving crops should not be planted outdoors until the danger of frost has passed and soil temperatures are around 60 degrees Fahrenheit. If you want to grow zucchini from seeds, it's usually best to directly sow seeds outdoors about 2 weeks after the last frost date in spring. Fortunately, zucchini grows quickly, so gardeners in chilly climates should still have plenty of time to grow and harvest zucchini, even if they don't start their plants until mid to late spring. 5. Use a rich potting mix. Like squash and melons, zucchini are heavy feeding plants that need lots of nutrients. Start the growing season off right by filling your growing containers with a lightweight, well-draining, soil-free potting mix, amended with compost or aged manure. If your potting mix doesn't already contain fertilizer, you can also add some slow-release organic fertilizer. 6. Plant zucchini the right way. If you're growing zucchini from seeds, plant 2 to 3 seeds in the center of your growing container, burying the seeds with about 1 inch of potting mix. Keep the soil evenly moist until the seeds sprout and develop several sets of true leaves. Then thin the seedlings leaving just one plant per 5 to 10 gallon pot. Use scissors to cut off the weakest seedlings at the soil line to avoid disturbing the remaining plant's roots. 7. Water often. Zucchini must be watered regularly and deeply with 1 to 2 inches of water per week. Uneven watering can cause problems like blossom end rot. So you may want to grow zucchini in self-watering planters, install a drip irrigation system, or mulch around the base of your plants to keep the soil from drying out quickly. When watering, always direct the water flow toward the base of your plants to keep leaves dry and mildew free. 8. Fertilize as needed. Adding slow-release fertilizer or compost to your potting mix at planting time gives zucchini a jump start on the growing season. If you want a large harvest of zucchini, also fertilize those hungry plants once a month with an organic liquid fertilizer. Balanced or high phosphorus fertilizers intended for tomatoes work especially well for growing zucchini, while high nitrogen fertilizers tend to produce lots of leaves and minimal fruit. 9. Try companion planting. Zucchini plants require insect pollinators to set fruit. However, if insects don't visit your plants, you may end up with a lot of zucchini flowers and no zucchini. Planting companion plants like nasturtiums, marigolds, dill, and borage near zucchini helps attract bees and other insects to ensure the plants are pollinated. If you place small scented herbs such as chives and dill near zucchini, pest insects are also less likely to visit. 10. Harvest regularly. Zucchini can be harvested about 45 to 55 days after planting, or when the fruit measures 6 to 8 inches long. Huge zucchini may look impressive, but they have tough skins and aren't as tasty. Picking zucchini regularly makes the plants even more productive. Use a sharp knife to cut zucchini stems from the vines so you don't accidentally damage your plants. A Tale of Three Seeds. Reflecting on the rich histories and unique characteristics of different vegetable varieties on a quiet morning garden stroll. By Amanda MacArthur. And this is from Greenprints, June 2024 edition. The sun was just peeking over the horizon as I stepped out into my garden, coffee mug in hand. The crisp morning air filled my lungs as I surveyed the tidy rows of vegetable plants, still heavy with morning dew. This was my favorite time of day, a peaceful moment to myself before the hustle and bustle began. As I walked between the beds, occasionally bending down to pluck a weed or inspect a new blossom, my mind wandered to the very start of this garden. The seeds. To the casual observer, they were just tiny specks, easily overlooked. But to me, each seed represented a little miracle, a dormant life ready to burst forth under the right conditions. I thought back to when I first started gardening, overwhelmed by the options in the seed catalogs. Hybrid, open-pollinated, heirloom. The terms were foreign to me. But over the years, I'd come to intimately understand the unique characteristics and stories behind each type. The hybrid seeds were the workhorses of my garden. Carefully crossbred over generations, they produced robust plants with specific traits suited for my microclimate. The early girl tomatoes, for instance, were bred to ripen quickly and resist disease, ensuring a reliable harvest. The salad bush cucumber, another hybrid, was perfect for my small garden, producing prolific yields of crisp cukes,
without taking up too much space. But it was the open pollinated seeds that really captured my imagination. These were the seeds that could be saved from year to year, passed down like cherished family heirlooms. Each generation adapted a bit more to the specific conditions of my garden, becoming increasingly resilient. The Brandywine tomatoes and Kentucky Wonder pole beans were living proof of this amazing adaptability. The Detroit Dark Red Beets, a stalwart open-pollinated variety introduced in 1892, thrived in my garden's heavy soil. And then there were the true heirloom seeds, each with a story reaching back through the decades, connecting me to gardeners past. The Chioggia beets, with their candy-striped interiors, originated in Italy before 1840. The round black Spanish radishes, with their spicy bite, were grown in the 1500s. The Jenny Lind melon, a small sweet variety, was introduced in 1846 and named after a famous singer of the time. When I bit into one of these, it was like tasting a bit of history. I paused at the row of mortgage lifter tomatoes, a beefy heirloom with a fascinating backstory. These were developed in the 1930s by a gardener named Radiator Charlie, who used the profits from selling the seedlings to pay off his mortgage. As I tied up the unruly vines, I marveled at how a simple plant could change the course of a life. I often get asked whether hybrid or heirloom varieties are better. The truth is, it depends on your goals as a gardener. Hybrids offer uniformity and disease resistance, while heirlooms pack flavor and history. Me, I like to grow both, embracing the diversity. As the sun climbed higher and the garden came alive with the buzz of pollinators, I finished my coffee and headed in to start the day. But those quiet moments in the garden, reflecting on the marvel of seeds, always stayed with me. They served as a reminder that no matter how much the world changes, the simple magic of a seed sprouting and growing endures. And I have the honor of being part of that magic, season after season. Bring the Wild Pharmacy to Your Home Garden by Sarah Stewart Martinelli. And this is from ColoradoGardener.com. The diverse ecosystems of Colorado are a treasure trove of native medicinal plants and trees, a living pharmacy offering remedies for a wide range of ailments. These plants, discovered and used by indigenous peoples and early settlers over the centuries, are a testament to their deep understanding of the natural world. By cultivating them, we play a vital role in preserving and honoring their traditional knowledge and practices. This act fosters a deeper connection to the land, reminding us of the cultural heritage embedded in these plants. It's a responsibility we should embrace with respect and gratitude. Growing native medicinal plants in your Colorado garden is a great idea for several additional reasons. Adaptation to local climate. Native plants are naturally adapted to the local climate, soil, and weather conditions of Colorado. This means they require less water, fertilizer, and overall maintenance compared to non-native species, making them more sustainable and environmentally friendly. Native plants are typically more resilient to local pests and diseases, reducing the need for chemical pesticides and interventions. Their deep root systems also help prevent soil erosion and improve soil health. biodiversity and ecosystem support. Native species support local wildlife, including pollinators like native bees, butterflies, and birds, by providing essential habitats and food sources, which contributes to the ecosystem's overall health and biodiversity. Medicinal access. Imagine the empowerment of having your own natural remedies at your fingertips. You can take control of your health in a sustainable and natural way by using plants that offer a range of benefits. Educational opportunity. A garden with native medicinal plants offers opportunities to learn about botany, herbal medicine, and ecology. It can be a valuable resource for teaching children and the community about the importance of native species and sustainable gardening practices, fostering a sense of connection and responsibility to our environment. Here are some of the most beautiful, useful, and easy-to-grow Colorado native medicinal plants to welcome into your home garden. Yarrow. Yarrow is a perennial plant with feathery leaves and clusters of small white flowers. It grows in meadows and open areas and is easy to grow in your garden. Be sure to purchase seeds of the native wild variety, not the more ornamental versions. Medicinal qualities. Yarrow has a long history of being used to treat wounds, reduce inflammation, and stop bleeding. In fact, a clean leaf of yarrow can make a great field band-aid or stop a bleeding nose. Its healing properties are especially useful when treating urinary and digestive issues. Yarrow is one of the ingredients of one of the oldest known formulas for reducing fevers and symptoms of colds and flu. Cultural relevance. Named after Achilles, supposedly used it. Native American tribes used yarrow medicinally, including for colds and toothaches. Echinacea. A perennial garden showstopper, echinacea has purple daisy-like flowers with a prominent central cone. It grows in prairies and dry open areas. Medicinal qualities. Echinacea has long been known for its immune-boosting properties and is used to treat colds, infections, and wounds. The whole plant is medicinally useful, but if you harvest and dry the aerial parts for tea, the plant will return every year. Cultural relevance. Echinacea has been used by Native American tribes like the Lakota and Cheyenne to treat various ailments, including infections and snake bites. Bee balm or wild bergamot. Monarda is an aromatic herbal plant with lavender pink flowers that look like mini fireworks. Its leaves are lance-shaped and it can grow 2 to 4 feet tall. It thrives in prairies and open woodlands. A member of the mint family, it will spread joyfully once established in the garden. Medicinal qualities. Monarda's high levels of aromatic oils have long been used to treat colds, sore throats, and digestive issues. The leaves can be brewed into a flavorful tea. Cultural relevance. Native American tribes use Monarda for its medicinal properties and flavoring. Pasque flower. The delicate perennial flower has purple bell-shaped flowers and fine feathery divided leaves. It blooms in early spring, growing in prairies and open woodlands. It's always a treat to come across them in the wild, and they are a magical addition to your home garden. Medicinal qualities. Pasque flower has been carefully used to treat respiratory issues, headaches, and reproductive problems. Known for its calming and pain-relieving properties, It is often used in teas and tinctures. Use in small doses, as it can be an active herb, and do not use it during pregnancy. Cultural relevance. Native American tribes,
such as the Dakota and Lakota, used pasque flower to treat various ailments and in ceremonial practices to promote healing and well-being.
Rocky Mountain bee plant.
The bee plant is a tall and showy one with a robust stem and dense rounded pink or purple flower clusters at the top of the plant that are sometimes described as spider flowers. After flowering, the bee plant produces long, slender seed pods that look like little peas and gladly recedes each year. It grows in prairies and disturbed areas. As its name suggests, this is an excellent plant to attract pollinators. Medicinal qualities. Native American tribes used leaves and stems in poultices to treat skin conditions and wounds. Teas from the plant have been used to alleviate stomach issues and promote general health. Cultural relevance. Tribes such as the Navajo and the Hopi also use the plant, including as a source of dye and food. The seeds are ground into a meal, and the young shoots are sometimes cooked and eaten. Stinging nettle. Nettles are herbaceous perennials with serrated leaves and tiny greenish flowers, best known for the stinging hairs that can cause skin irritation upon contact. They grow to almost 6 feet and readily spread if allowed. They grow in moist, nutrient-rich soils. If you are brave enough to plant nettles in your own garden, select the location carefully. Put it in a place where you do not want people to go. Medicinal qualities. Nettles are rich in vitamins and minerals and are often considered one of the most beneficial medicinal plants for their wide range of uses. Used to treat allergies, boost overall health and vitality, alleviate arthritis, and treat urinary issues, nettles can be consumed as a tea, cooked like spinach, or used in tinctures. Cultural relevance. Native American tribes, such as the Utes, use stinging nettle for its medicinal properties and as a source of fiber for making twine and nets. It was also used in various ceremonial practices. Nettles are also a great food source. Golden currant, a deciduous shrub with fragrant yellow flowers, green leaves, and edible berries that range from yellow to red to black. It grows in woodlands and along watercourses. In the garden, it is a lovely shrub, but tends to spread if allowed. Medicinal qualities. The berries are high in vitamins and antioxidants, used to boost immunity and treat colds and flu. The leaves and bark have been used for their astringent properties. The plant also had medicinal uses for treating digestive issues and skin conditions. Cultural relevance. The berries were an important food source for Native American tribes, including the Utes and Apache, and are still used today to make jams and chutneys. They can be eaten fresh or dried, and were used to make pemmican. Thank you for joining us for Colorado Gardener. My name is Christy McGowan.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.